This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we find the previous few ahadith, we can find some elements of excessiveness or overzealousness that people begin to have these practices, as we mentioned, of maybe spying on people, peeping on people, prying on individuals, being suspicious of other people, being over worried about other people. And this overzealousness may have a reason that even inside their daily practice or the practice of Islam, there's some form of overzealousness that leads them not to worry about themselves, but leads them to begin to worry about other individuals. And what would be the result of another individual, or what would their end be? And we're not saying we shouldn't be worried about other individuals or about false practices or false beliefs or wrong actions. But some of us begin to go beyond the limitations that our whole life just becomes just finding something about another individual. And this overzealousness, a possible reason for it may begin from the overzealousness in the practicing of one's deen that we find. What can be translated as a form of extremism, al-ghulu fi al-deen, or at-tashaddud that we find. Extremism that we find that we Muslims are well versed in, always trying to tackle the so-called extremism that we find that possibly that could exist, or it could be a make-believe world. But we find so much exertion and effort is channeled into trying to, what they say, to de-radicalize individuals and saying this is the real problem inside our Muslim society. Thousands or tens of thousands are spent. Leaflets are published and given out to highlight as if this is the main problem inside our core society that what we're facing. Ghulu anwar. Extremism is various forms, various colours. If we only home in on one thing, to say at times we do need to home in onto that form of radicalization, that type of thought, but to make that the one main goal and not to look at the other diseases and problems that also come underneath that same title. We find inside this concept of extremism that we find of overzealous of our faith, that what happens to certain individuals not tackled, it becomes a bad habit, it becomes common. That we find that certain individuals amongst practicing Muslims, they begin to have a burnout. They leave their faith. They stop practicing. They stop symbolizing the symbols of Islam. We find that unfortunately Muslims begin to reject. And even may sound very harsh or strange, we find even concepts of ilhad, atheism. That some people may be the best of practicing Muslims, but now you find that they are now calling towards atheism or rejecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are all extremisms that we find that we don't seem to tackle inside our society. Or we try to brush aside that doesn't exist. There's statistical data that's showing that there are some Muslims moving towards atheism, rejection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And amongst practicing Muslims, there's an increase of people abandoning their faith or not even doing the basic fundamentals because they burn out inside their faith. Because as we mentioned, the overzealousness that we find is focused upon certain things. Today's hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, inna deena yusrun. Deen, Islam is simple, is easy, is comfortable. Something every individual can adapt or adopt inside their life and carry it out inside their life. وَلَنْ يُشَادَ الدِّينَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. No individual becomes overzealous, overpowers themselves, overburdens themselves. إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. Except for it will overcome the individual. Make the individual collapse or make the individual lose focus. فَسَدِّدُوا وَقَارِبُوا. فَسَدِّدُوا, find the middle path. Don't go towards two extremities. وَقَارِبُوا. If you're not able to aim that, at least come close to some element of perfection of trying your best. What a person should do. وَأَبْشِرُوا. And have glad tidings that you tried your best. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالْغَدْوَةِ وَالْرَوْحَةِ وَشَيْءٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. And seek aid and assistance in ibadah, in the beginning of the day, in the end of the day, and towards the end of the night. Hadith inside the Sahih of Imam Bukhari. Imam Suyuti mentions about this hadith in the Dina Yusrun. They look at Islam in comparison to the other religions that existed before. Look at the tashaddud, the harshness that was placed upon them. For example, a person carried out a crime, a sin, it was said to them, document inside the Quran, فَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. If you carried out a crime previously, then your recompense was you had to be killed. That was the tawbah. That was a form of forgiveness for that individual, that they had to be face this punishment. Likewise, we find a sign of sacrifice being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find ta'kulhu an-nar, a fire would come and it would burn it up, take it up, a symbol. This has been accepted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That doesn't exist inside Islam now. Whereby if a person commits a crime, that they have to kill themselves. The only time the punishment is applicable upon them, the had, is obviously when they come into a court of law and the qadi judges this, all the position, all the evidence is there. This is the punishment for the individual. So he mentioned that Islam is not what the previous religions were. It's all been simplified and made easy for this Muslim ummah. That's what we find in general. Ulama mentioned many of the hard things have been taken away and all of the easy things have been placed inside Islam. Wa muhaiminan alayh. As Allah mentions in Surah Al-Ma'idah about the Qur'an, muhaiminan alayh, that everything that is taken from previous things, placed inside here, becomes a law for you, goodness for you. And thus we find, Allah mentions so many times inside the Qur'an, about simplicity, about ease. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah wants ease for you, doesn't want hardship for you. Context of these ayat is siyaq speaking about Ramadan, about fasting, about traveling, about not able to fast. Allah mentions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want hardship for you. If you're traveling, you're sick, you're terminally ill, then give the fidya, make the fast at a later stage, you're breastfeeding, whatever it may be, you're on a journey. Allah wants ease, simplicity, no hardship. Again, inside Surah Al-Ma'idah, the context being about performance of wudu. That if a person can't find water, what should a person do? Allah then mentions, مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَجْعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah doesn't want to place any difficulty upon you. Inside the beginning of Surah Al-Ma'idah that we find. So you can't find water, you can't do certain things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants ease for you. Likewise, inside Surah Al-Hajj. Surah Al-Hajj is the 22nd surah speaking about Hajj, the whole journey of Hajj. It concludes speaking about Ibrahim alayhi salam, whereby it mentions, وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. Hajj, yes, it is difficult, but in essence, there's no real difficulty if a person does few days. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked for a few days of sacrifice doing ayyam al-tashriq, ayyam of Hajj. Allah asked us to fast not the whole year, not half of the year. He asked us to fast not a quarter of the year, just a month of the year. He asks us to pray only five times inside a day. This is all simplicity. If a person really reflects upon that, finds their simplicity inside the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَنْ يُشَادَ الدِّينَ أَحْدٌ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. And no one becomes overzealous or tries to go beyond the limits that except for it begins to conquer, overcome the individual. Overburden oneself. This is the psyche we need to understand, that some people think that we can do more. And this is a psyche that existed even at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Three individuals, they heard about the Prophet alayhi salam and they said that where are we from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? We're never going to be able to reach that benchmark or anything of the sort. Paraphrasing the hadith. So one of them said that I'm going to pray every single night. The second one said that I'm going to fast every single day. And the third one said that I'm never going to get married to women. Look at their understanding. It's a good understanding. But when the Prophet alayhi salam, he heard about this, he said, مَا بَالُ الْأَقْوَامِ. He said, what is the matter with these people? I pray and I rest, I fast and I break my fast and I marry. Then he mentioned, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever goes against my sunnah has got nothing to do with me. Harsh words. Good actions, excessive actions. But because the Prophet ﷺ, he recognizes this is going to lead to extremity. They're not going to be able to uphold this. This is going to be dangerous for them, of praying every single night, all night, fasting every single day, abstaining from marriage. It's going to destroy them, because this is not the general sunnah of the human being. This is not the natural creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed inside the human being, that to go to such extremities inside their life. And likewise, we find maybe some of us want to make up lost time. Feel upset rightfully, maybe I haven't done enough good action inside my life, I need to do more. Once again, this existed amongst the companions. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he approached the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he said, I want to do more. He said, I want to read the Quran more. If you don't read it in less than 7 days, I want to do more. I want to fast more. Fast of Dawood. Fast one day, break another day. He said, I want to do more. The Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, ba'du riwayat, he said to him, maybe Allah may give you a long life. Allah might give you a long life, and this is going to be burdensome for you. وَفِي آخِرِ حَيَاتِهِ كَانَ يَنْدَمْ عَلَىٰ هَذِي الْعَفْآلِ. And towards the end of his life, he felt remorseful, regretful. He said, if I had only taken the advice of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and done what he told me to do, I've been overburdening myself. So this is what the Sharia is. The understanding of Sharia isn't to overburden oneself, to go to these extremities. And likewise, we find over-worried over other individuals. We become so over-worried about things that you can loosely translate it as nitpicking things. That's in the hadith, find halaka al-mutanatti'un. Faqala thalathan. Halaka al-mutanatti'un. Destroyed those individuals who just pick on minute things. Nitpicking every single thing. They destroy themselves. Destroy society around them. Because they can't see a bigger image, a bigger goodness. They can only see the small thing that they can see. And that's all they want to home in, and that begins to become detrimental to them, is what we're trying to highlight. And two main reasons for this. Al-ghulut, the shaddudness that we find, and for then some of these people abandoning their faith or not practicing their faith appropriately. Awwalan is qillatul ilm. Is a lack of knowledge. They perceive, they think they have knowledge. هذا العلم جزئيات. These are snippets of knowledge. These are segments of knowledge. It's not al-ilm al-kulli. It's not a complete comprehensive understanding of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just reading into juz'iyat. When a person reads into just specks of knowledge, قَدْ يَتَخَصَّصْ فِي هَذَا. A person can become a specialist inside that. But that's the only knowledge that they have, is that small element. They have no ilm al-shamil, no understanding of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to understand its context, to understand its application, to see what is beneficial, what is known as a maslah al-amma, what is known as a general benefit of the masses of people. Not the benefit of oneself. If a person wants to be harsh upon themselves, they're more than welcome to be harsh. Person doesn't adopt that as a benchmark inside society. And the second thing is misinterpretation of the sources. Is making ta'wilat, just like deviant people may make ta'wilat of nusus, of aqa'id. You find that people begin to make ta'wilat of ahadith. Begin to take ahadith, begin to apply them upon individual, or begin to read them for the reason of applying them upon another individual. Ulama have written time and time again, لَا تُطَبِّقْ عَلَىٰ أَيِّ شَخْصٍ. Don't apply anything that you read upon another individual if you're not in a position to do that. If you're not in a position, no person should apply something upon another individual. Especially about affairs to do with the belief inside the heart of the individual, what they intend, what they want to do. No one knows what's inside the heart of the individual. Person should be vigilant about that, to condemn people, to be derogatory towards people. Person should be vigilant and worried about that inside their life. And thus we find a similar word, similar hadith that we find, yet you are nurse. إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوَ فِي الدِّينِ. Oh mankind, woe upon you, stay away from excessiveness inside your religion. فَإِنَّوْ أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ الْغُلُوَ فِي الدِّينِ. Hadith inside Bukhari. Indeed, that we destroyed the people before you was the excessiveness inside their religious practices. It destroyed them. They were not able to uphold them. And this warning is inside the Quran. If you look at Surah Al-Ma'idah, most of it speaks about Ahlul Kitab. You find some verse 70 to 78, a whole like page or so, speaking about their beliefs and what they do. Till eventually Allah mentions, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ. Or people of the book, don't go in extremities regarding your religion, غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ. That which is not right, which is not accurate, which is not correct. لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ. As we know inside usul of tafsir that you find in ulum al-Qur'an, al-ibra bi'imum al-lafzi la bi-khusus al-sabab. This is an indirect warning to this Muslim ummah as well. لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ. Don't become excessive inside your religion, inside your practices. As for directly, we find the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned, in the same context, speak about Isa ﷺ. What did he say? Ulama of hadith mentioned as documented amongst his final words. If you look at the lineage of ahadith, you find a zaman al-hadith, look at the check when he said certain words, you can find that at times. At what location, what place? He said to his followers around him, don't overpraise me. Don't extol me. Don't raise me to such a platform like the Christians done to Isa alayhi salam and began to make him one with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, I'm only the servant and the messenger of Allah. حقوق النبي بين الغلو والإفراط بين الاتباع والابتداع. Following the Prophet alayhi salam is between staying away from innovations and following the sunnah. It's between going to extremities and begin neglecting him. There's we have to find the middle path. We don't go to this overzealousness that we find that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide these individuals. There's no other word to say but they begin to worship the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. We don't worship him. We love him immensely. We revere him. We respect him. We're willing to sacrifice our lives for him. But what do? We follow his life. We follow what we want to do. And that's Abu Bakr as-Siddiq when he said to Umar al-Khattab, who became ballistic inside his love and his emotional feelings. Abu Bakr rebuked him. أَلَا مَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ مُحَمَّدًا فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا قَدْ مَاتْ. Whoever used to worship the Prophet Muhammad, he's left this dunya. إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّ مَيِّتُونَ. He's left this world. There's nothing offensive about that. There's nothing to get upset about that, to say that the Prophet ﷺ, he died. There's nothing offensive. There's nothing rude. It's a fact. He's left this dunya now. Whether you want to decipher that as he's in another barzakh, in another world, or he may be living, whatever it may be, the fact is he's no longer present amongst us. That's the fact. He's left this world. And we have to accept that. So Abu Bakr said to Umar, whoever used to worship the Prophet, he's left this dunya, he's died. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. Whoever worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is all living, eternal. We are not Muhammadans, as Orientalists say, right? We're not Muhammadans. We are Muslims. We are Ibadullah. Ibadur Rahman. We are servants of Allah. وَحَتَّ هَذِي الْأَلْقَابِ عَبْدُ الْمُصْطَفَى غُلَامُ مُصْطَفَى servant of Mustafa, the servant of the Prophet. هَذِي أَسْمَى لَا يُلِيقُ لَا يَجُوز. Not allowed to keep such titles. You are servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is another element of extremity that we find inside society that we find. And the strange thing is about moderation. Allah mentioned inside the Quran, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطَاءً. We have made you the middle nation. وفي هذه الآية السر. Inside this ayah, there is something secret about this ayah that maybe many of us haven't noticed about this ayah. Surah Al-Baqarah is 286 verses. This ayah is number 143 of Surah Al-Baqarah. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطَاهُ. هذا حكمة عند الله سبحانه وتعالى. People may say that that's just too much of a deep spiritual reading inside the Quran. But there's an essence, as Imam Suyuti speaks about certain ayat being in a certain frame, in a certain location. That Allah placed this ayah 143 right bang in the middle of Surah Al-Baqarah of 286 verses. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We made you the middle nation, the middle path. Don't go to one extremity and don't go to an element of lexical approach that we find the other extremity, a lexical approach of Islam. That Islam is a modern religion. Islam is modern practices, the modern world. Islam is not the modern world. Islam is not the medieval barbaric world. Islam is a way of life. is a deen. لِكُلِّ زَمَانٍ وَلِكُلِّ مَكَانٍ. For every time and every place. هُوَ دِينُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ وَدِينُ اللَّهِ فِي السَّمَاءِ. It is a way of life on this earth, destined and placed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise inside the heavens. Deenullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's what it is. So that's why we try our best to follow the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of ability. Fasaddidu. Ay ilzimu as-sadad. Try to find the right path. Hold fast to that path. Wa huwa sawab min ghayri ifrat wala tafreet. The correct path, whether either going this way or going that way, trying to hold fast. وَقَارِبُ. Doing one's best. إِلَّمْ تَسْتَطِيعُ الْأَخْذِ بِكُلِّهِ. You're not able to take all of it. Try your best. وَقَارِبُ. To do what you can to the best ability of holding fast to Islam. وَأَبْشِرُ. أَنَّ الثَّوَابِ قَدْ كُتِبَ لَكُمْ. That's why ulama of hadith have mentioned, look at the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, even though he scares first, but inside there he mentions, وَأَبْشِرُ. This is Al-Quran bayna al-takhweef, bayna al-targheeb wa tarheeb, bayna al-wa'di wal-wa'id, bayna al-jannati wal-nar wal-iman wal-kufr. That's what the Quran is, between the two things. That's mentioned, this is what is the punishment, or this is what is wrong. This is the solution. Wa'abshiru, if you hold fast, you're going to get rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we need to pause and reflect upon ease and glad tidings. How many times did the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam say? He said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal wa Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, al-Ansari, when he sent them to al-Yaman, the land of wisdom. He said to them, yassiru wa la tu'assiru, bashiru wa la tunaffiru. He said, when you come to the people, yassiru. Be simple, be easy, be gentle, don't be harsh towards the people. Wa bashiru, give them glad tidings. Don't push people away. Islam isn't ghidda, shidda, umf, harshness, strictness. Read hatta abasa wa tawalla an ja'u al-a'ma. Read the tafsir of surah Abasa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, kana a'ma kafifan, was a blind individual. Nobody saw the Prophet wasalam, just turned away his face. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, abasa wa tawalla an ja'u al-a'ma. Shouldn't behave in that manner towards even a blind person. He can't see you. Don't turn away. Don't look down upon him. Don't belittle him. Same thing today. Every Muslim, never look down upon another Muslim. Never belittle another Muslim. Because قَدْ يَكُونْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ أَحْسَنْ مِنْكَ. Because he could be better than you in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He may change inside his life, end of his life. Allah may change all of his sayyat into hasanat. Give the person a good ending. That's what ulama mentioned. Based upon the hadith that you find, إِنَّمَا الْخَوَاتِيمِ. Or in the ending is upon al-khawatim. The ending of a person is upon khawatim, upon the ending, how they die. That's what you look at an individual. That's what a person sees. The obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَحَبُّ الدِّينِ لَلَّهِ الْحَنَفِيَّ السَّمْحَ. The most beloved deen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the oneness, monotheistic belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, السَّمْحَ, which has been translated, described as easiness, tolerance, love, affection. Another hadith in Muslim Imam Ahmad, you find khayru deenukum aysaruhu. The best deen is the one which is simple. It doesn't mean a person abandons the principles of Islam, of praying and fasting, etc. It means that person is lenient towards certain things, of encouraging people to become a good Muslim and to practice their deen towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wasta'inu bil ghadwati wa rawhati wa shay'in min al-dulja. And seek aid and assistance in ibadah in the beginning of the day, at the end of the day, and towards the end of the night. هذه الكلمات, these words as ulama of hadith have mentioned, are to do with هذه الاستعانة, or symbol of كناية للسفر, للمسافر. This is a symbol of a person is الاستعارة للمسافرين. For a person who's traveling, you use such كلمات. That they take aid and assistance, they use the morning, the end of the day, and some part of the night they travel. As if this hadith is trying to state that praise Allah in the morning and in the evening, وَالْقِيَامْ بِاللَّيْلِ, to strengthen your journey. Or it's saying that use moments, don't spend all day traveling. That's another interpretation of the hadith. Don't spend all day traveling because you're going to not get to the end of your destination. You're going to harm yourself. You're going to fall ill, fall sick, get tired. So use opportunities that in your nashat, in the times of activity, early in the morning. Head out towards the end of the day when you've rested, towards late at night or early, just before Fajr, head out again to make up that time. So this is what a Muslim is. Yasta'een bil ibadat. With ibadat, with worship at certain moments in the day to strengthen their belief towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to complete their journey and complete their life with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the majority of ahadith that we mentioned, a person go back and revert to Riyadu Salihin of Imam Nawawi that we find whereby he's mentioned these chapters, Bab fil iqtisad fil ibadah. Bab to be economical, to be vigilant about ibadah. In chapter number 14 we find, and likewise Babul Istiqama, chapter number 8. Read these two chapters. If you can't read the whole of Riyadu Salihin, read the beginning chapters. Wa khususan, read these two abwab, read these two chapters speaking about these ahadith, about steadfastness, about being vigilant, about being committed, not being overzealous. And those of us who are familiar with the Arabic language, read the shuruhat of these ahadith. And specifically look at Shaykh Uthaymeen Rahmatullah, his explanation of these ahadith in his voluminous work to see spirituality of how he writes and he speaks about these ahadith inside a person's life. Many of these ahadith, if we can use such words linguistically, are basic. No hadith is basic because many of us don't implement basic teachings. But if we can use those words, but these wordings, as he mentioned, Jawanul Kalim, concise words, powerful words. If a person lives up to these words. Inside these chapters, find another similar hadith, Qaribu wa saddidu. Find the middle path, and strengthen one another, and know fa wa'lamu annahu lan yanjua ahadun minkum bi amalihi. I know that not one of you is going to be rescued due to his actions. Not one of you. Not one of us should think that my actions, that I deserve paradise. We'll come to what ulama mentioned about this hadith, about when Allah mentions in the Quran that believers will be given paradise. So the companions asked, Wala anta ya Rasulullah, even you, O Messenger of Allah, are you also not going to be given paradise? He said, Wala ana. Illa an yataghammadina Allahu bi rahmatihi wa fadlihi. Only even myself, I'm not going to go to paradise except for if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enshrouds and covers me up with his mercy and his virtue. Even the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. So what does it mean when we carry out actions inside our life? Ulama mentioned that don't think that your meagerly actions, that in return, they are equivalent to Jannah. No matter how many years you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are nothing in equivalent to Jannah. This is sabab ad-dukhul al-Jannah. You make the effort. As for to say that your actions, the weight of your actions is equivalent to this reward in Jannah, that's not accurate. That's not what it is. You have to do this path that Allah says. As for the weight of your actions, Allah multiplies it. Out of his virtue, out of his mercy, out of his compassion, he gives, he sees that person who's trying, and then gives that individual Jannah. As for a person to think that I deserve Jannah because I've done this ibadat, that person needs to remove that from their heart and their mind. It is a mercy and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a person needs to exert themselves. And this is what we should be extreme about inside our lives. Extreme inside our lives about Jannah. This should be the worry inside our life daily. Every single day we should be worried about it. Am I from amongst Ahlul Jannah or Ahlul Nar? Am I amongst the people of paradise or the people of hellfire? Am I treading the path of people of paradise? Have I slipped up? Have I made a mistake? Have I done something wrong? Have I begun to deviate towards the path of the hellfire? That's what a person's worry should be. And as a person should build upon that, build upon the Quran and the Sunnah. That's when we go back to Bab al-Iqtisad fil-Ibadah. You find Imam Nawawi mentions with a verse from the Quran, Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa. Surah Taha, you find 20 of Surah al-Qur'an. Study this Surah. You know, kullu Quran, mu'jiza. Whole the Quran is a miracle. But in certain places inside the Quran, you find more i'jaz al-Qur'an. You find more beauty, more miracles inside certain places inside the Quran. And Surah Taha is no exception to that. 20th Surah of the Quran, I find Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Quran litashqa. Taha, these haruf that we find are not the names. It's not the name of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, qawl al-rajih. These are haruf of tahaddi, of challenging the people to create something like the Quran. Ayhal, Allah mentioned, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa. Quran hasn't been sent down to make you become upset, to make you become worried, to give up your life, to give up Islam. That's if you study this surah, you find inside this surah, you find so many ayat inside this surah about strengthening one's iman, giving one's deliverance, encouragement that we find. That's we find Allah mentions, innani anna Allah la ilaha illa ana fa'budni wa aqimis salata li dhikri. When Musa meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah speaks to Musa alayhi salam, wa kallama Allah Musa taklima, spoke to Musa alayhi salam, innani anna Allah, I'm the one and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worship only me. And what's the message he gave to Musa alayhi salam? Wa aqimis salata li dhikri. Ya ayyuhal mu'minun, establish as-salah li dhikri, li dhikri Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa la dhikru Allah akbar. وَقَدْ فُسِّرَ وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ هُوَ الصَّلَاةِ. Greatest dhikr of Allah is as-salah. This is what strengthens the person inside their life. Then inside the same surah, Allah mentions, رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. Musa prays, expand my chest. What does it mean to expand my chest? To bear the difficulties, the hardships, tranquility, peace. Give it, place that inside my heart. Then we find Allah mentioning, فَلَا يَخَافُ ظُلْمًا وَلَا هَدْمًا. Person will face no oppression from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who follows the right path. وَلَا هَدْمًا. وَالْهَدْمْ هُوَ نَقْصْ مِنَ الْأَجْرِ أَوْ الثَّوَابِ لِلشَّخْصِ لِمَا عَمِلَ. Allah will not decrease, will not take away, make something deficient for a person who tries their best. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions after this, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Give me more knowledge. That knowledge is what we need to remain steadfast on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then in the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes once again, فَمَنْ اتَّبَعْ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. Strange. Whoever follows the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this individual that you find, فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. This person will never be misguided and never be wretched. This person will never become overzealous. This person will never abandon their faith, never question their faith. They may have elements of weakness as a human being that all of us exist, but they won't become one who begins to abandon the fundamentals of Islam. That one day they're on top of the hill, the next day they've collapsed down to the bottom. And don't even want to climb back once again, crawl once again. That's it. It's finished for them because they don't understand Deenullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah mentions a warning that we should be fearful about turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ أَعْرَدَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً دَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. Quran is powerful. Whoever turns away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will give him a wretched life. They can possess the dunya. That's not what the theme is. They can possess the dunya. في نفسه قلق الحرج ضيق. Person inside himself has this feeling of not being satisfied, not being content, not being happy in pursuit of happiness. Allah places it whoever drifts away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنَحْشُرُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى كَفِيفٌ. I will raise the person day of judgment being blind. Person will say, قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَا حَشَدْتَنِي أَعْمَى. Ya Allah, why have you made me blind? وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. I could see in this dunya. Why are my eyes being sealed? Why am I not given my reward today? Allah responds, subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا. On this dunya, our signs came to you, warning after warning, and you forgot them. وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgets you inside this dunya, when Allah forgets you, not when people forget you, when Allah forgets you, you're doomed. And then if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgets you inside al-akhirah, i'rad anka, laysa laka ayyi rahmah. That's what it means, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns away from the individual, that person exposed to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine that. Doom in this dunya, doom inside al-akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to uphold our faith, to struggle, hold fast to our faith, live according to our faith, and encourage other individuals to come towards faith with wisdom and fair preaching and encouragement, with admonition and warning and glad tidings to encourage this Muslim ummah to return back to deenullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the answer is simple, the solution is simple. We don't need books and theological debates and discussions and conferences and meetings. As Shaykh Uthaymeen Rahmatullah mentions inside his explanation, his ahadith, when he speaks about Taha ma'anzal alayka al-Qur'an al-tashqa. When this ummah became ummah of the Qur'an, yahtam bil-Qur'an, hold fast to the Qur'an, lives the Qur'an, read the history, testifies how powerful the Muslim ummah became. And when we drifted away from the Qur'an, then don't read history. Don't read history, visualize it today. I'm not asking you to read history of the Mughal Empire or Al-Andalus or the Mamluks or the previous nations. I ask you to look today at where we stand with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the state of this Muslim ummah.